Good morning. This is Kevin Butler from your Chicago Bears, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for September 10th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflo.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. I said September 10th. Tomorrow, of course, is September 11th.
Moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
All right.
We still remember. We still remember those moments.
Exactly.
We try to explain it to our children. And they listen to us about as well as we listen to our parents about Pearl Harbor. Like, yeah, that was a thing in the past.
It was. Well, my wife was in labor on September 11th. My daughter was born early in the morning on the 12th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a time.
I just say happy birthday.
There you go.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You and I both got a chance to rush out to the theater this weekend and see It,
no,
Chapter
you're it.
2.
You're it.
Was it Tag? Were we watching Tag?
We were watching Tag.
Movie. That movie was months ago. This was It, sir.
There was a clown, Steve.
Yes, it was a clown.
Well, maybe.
It sort of was a clown.
Sort of a clown. And, you know, it's all about the ending, Steve.
Yes, it is. It is all about the ending. There's a theme in It where they say Stephen King can't write the ending to a story, which is so valid and true.
And it shows up multiple times.
It is the only theme in the story.
Charles Xavier was writing the... the ending of a movie,
yeah.
And they said you can't write endings
right.
Very well.
Bill, the writer in this story, who is the stand-in...
That's not Charles?
Who is the stand-in for Stephen King in the original story, certainly takes on the persona of the writer.
Was this before the X-Men or after the X-Men? I don't know.
I thought it was before...
is this where they got the powers?
No, I thought he was the guy from Split. That's what I was thinking the whole time. James McAvoy, who did such a fantastic job in the movie Split.
He has another name? Okay.
He did such a good job here. But boy, I tell you what, Bill Hader stole this movie. This is a Bill Hader movie.
Well, the ending, not to give away everything, basically all that the you think of like after a traumatic experience,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of like they survived.
Yeah.
And Hader's character eventually just breaks down. And I think that was very touching.
Yeah.
Just recognizing that if this something like this really would have happened, obviously it would have been incredibly traumatic.
Yeah. How spoilery are we going to go on this? I think this is a story that has existed for 30 years.
Yeah, I don't think I'm giving away a spoiler.
Okay.
Just to say someone survived and they just kind of broke down.
Okay.
And that was kind of like the after, like, post-credits, you know, type of moment.
Well, the idea of these kids going through this traumatic experience in Chapter 1, mm-hmm. and then 27 years later, they've forgotten a lot of it. There's
that,
a lot of
amazing.
Real humanity here.
And that's the idea. Is this... through all his books, if you get away from this town, you forget what ended up happening. And there was one of the gentlemen who stayed, and he had all the notes.
Uh-huh, and he had all the memories. He remembered everything. All the rest of the team splintered off to the four corners. I don't think that that's thematic to all Stephen King stories.
They were all very successful, too.
And,
I mean, what do we know about that? Every one of those characters was incredible. Like, Bill Hader's character is like, well, I'm going to go do my comedy act. Not in this dirty, in front of 100 people. No. I'm going to go, and you know, we're going to have, this is like the Netflix special.
Full theater comedy special. Sort of thing.
Lots of throw up.
And there was a lot. There's a lot of body horror in this version of It. There's a lot of body parts that are in the wrong places and a lot of body parts that are disconnected from bodies. That is another theme here.
And it seems like tragedy also came to all these characters.
Mm-hmm. That's thematic to Stephen King.
The female was in an abusive relationship?
She was an abused child who then led into that abusive relationship in her adulthood. Yeah. That is definitely a Stephen King trope.
Oh my goodness.
Done so well here, where she really fears for her life. But at the same time, she's staying because that's what happens so often in those sorts of relationships.
And so this series, the two movies, they have great casts.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who plays Stephen King is really, really good.
And the Stephen King cameo. We are going spoilers on this, right?
Is that Stephen King?
There's an actual Stephen King cameo here.
He was just a shop owner.
And he hated the ending of Bill's book. And boy, they said that 7 times in this movie.
Well, he wouldn't really negotiate on the price of the bikes,
uh-huh.
Because you know he's a rider, and of course he can afford it.
Can we get to the bike real quick?
Yeah,
the bike is out of time. This story, which was written in the '80s about the '50s,
mm-hmm.
still has that '50s feel to it,
sure.
Even though we're saying that this is happening in 1989, and we throw in these 1989 references that don't make much sense with the bike and their clothing. It's a story out of time.
It kind of jumps around a little bit. Very Stranger Things. I would say Stranger Things got a lot of... Stranger Things influenced this movie.
Yes.
As... this book may have influenced
Stranger Things. It's all cyclical.
Wow.
It's all 27 years. Everything happens in a 27-year rotation.
This is the top-of-the-line type of using modern storytelling techniques and
all the CGI. Can we get it?
Sure.
Can we talk about the CGI for a second? The thing that we said last week.
I always wondered what happened to that sort of crab-like thing at the end of Phantom Menace. It looks like he makes a comment.
Is that Ray Park?
he kind of the crab thing. He just kind of shows up here. You know, he's versatile. There's not many jobs for him.
The thing we talked about last week when we were saying that we were going to see It Chapter 2 mm-hmm. was we wish that they had filmed the kids' parts 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They waited 2 years, and then they had to use CGI to de-age
kids
the 2 years. Did you notice at any point where their faces looked different in certain scenes?
I had not watched the original one since I watched the original one. And no. My point, going back to this should have been filmed
mm-hmm.
simultaneously. They should have gone ahead and said, okay, this is going to be big enough
mm-hmm.
that let's go ahead and film the whole thing.
They could have added things to that filming that they did 2 years ago, but they really should have done it at that time because they had to take these kids back 2 years. And I noticed very clearly some of the scenes where especially Ben's face, the fat kid's face, was different in certain kid scenes than other kid scenes.
Well, and that's really what the hard part is. Young people change so dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And boys are like boys, and then all of a sudden they're like little men, and they're like big men.
Right.
And it's just incredible. It
happens very quickly, those middle school years.
Not that girls don't go through their dramatic change too, but I mean, we call some of the football games, or I did at some point. So when you're dealing with sixth graders, they look like sixth graders.
Yep.
When you look like eighth graders, it's like there are men out there and there are boys out there. And then by the time they get to high school, they're like, hello, Mr. Potter.
That 2 years is a huge jump in maturation.
Absolutely.
And I really think that they did something wrong by not filming this 2 years
ago. And they missed the smells because a gentleman working in a middle school now, let's just say that there's a lot of pheromones going on.
There was probably some smells to it.
A lot of hormones.
I'm glad that they didn't explore.
That's right. Smell-o-vision.
All right. So what else should we need? What else do we need to say about this?
This is very good. I would say 65, 70 out of 100. Pretty good stuff.
Okay. Is the red curtains in the Hall of Mirrors a direct reference to Twin Peaks, or was that just they had red curtains in a Hall of Mirrors? Because of course they did. All Hall of Mirrors have red curtains, right?
Yeah, we all drew that conclusion, Steve.
Okay.
No, we did.
On to page 5 of my notes. I took 6 pages of notes, by the way. Lots of body
I enjoyed the film, and I enjoyed the gentleman next to me talking to the film. Oh, that's a nice car. Yeah, that's a really nice car. Oh, don't go in there. That was the whole time he was having a conversation with the screen, and I was right next to him.
Can we talk about the ending? Can we talk about how they set us up throughout this movie that Stephen King is bad at endings? The miniseries version of it was a bad ending, and they set us up to have a really good ending for this story.
Did you like the ending?
I liked the ending very much. I liked the message of the ending very much.
All right, so there was part of this film I did not like, mm-hmm. and I did not mention it. There was a suicide in this, and there was, at the ending of it, as they're wrapping it up into a bow, mm-hmm. this was absolutely a terrible message.
A red that, dawn.
Like, and yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give it away.
Okay, spoilers. If you need to skip ahead by about 4 minutes, go ahead. But we're going to do spoilers on this right now.
All right, so the message that was, hey, listen, I committed suicide because if I knew it would bring everybody together. Mm-hmm. Are you out of your mind? Yeah. That is what an awful message.
That's a cop-out.
And that was terrible. Yeah. That the idea was they were still going to get together. Mm-hmm. And certainly there were some challenges, but this was going to be brought them together to make them go on this journey together? Yeah. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. That was terrible.
But on the other hand...
Terrible.
On the other hand, the message of be yourselves... Believe in yourselves. You are not the kids that you used to be. You are adults. The farther away that you get from this terrible situation, the less you remember it. And how perspective changes who you are is a wonderful message.
Well, the Goonies always stay together, Steve.
Well, the kids from It didn't. They split up to the four corners, and they came back together, and they got back their memories when they were back in Derry.
What about your losers?
And that's the other great message, that if you are in the losers club, and if you feel like you are a loser, then you have nothing left to lose. You can do it. Believe in yourself and fight your demons. I think that's a beautiful message at the end of the story that was not original to the Stephen King book.
And have a few jump scares along the way.
There were a few. Not terrible.
No,
not terrible jump scares.
Certainly Disney level jump scares.
Yeah, it was the body horror that really got me. The body parts, the bugs that had baby faces in the Chinese restaurant. It was like, okay, I could deal without the body horror. The eyes and the teeth. Whenever anything goes near a character's eyes in a horror movie, I'm like, nope, punching out. This was really good. Bill Hader stole it. He is the funniest thing in this movie for sure. He's definitely the comic relief. Mm-hmm. And the one line that has a swear word in it, so I won't say it on this show, but when he is introduced to the two beautiful actors and he says, "Wow, you guys are gorgeous. What happened to me?" I laughed out loud, and a lot of people in the audience wondered why I was laughing.
Well, I would like more films like this. I think this was wonderful.
Yeah,
and this is how you use a big budget.
I look forward to It Chapter 3. Oh, there's not going to be a Chapter 3.
No, but there'll be other films.
Yes. I look forward to the rest of the Stephen King multiverse coming together. We've seen so many great Stephen King stories. I look forward to season 2 of Castle Rock that is coming in October.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So, Steve, we saw a fun movie. Is there a movie that's really going to disappoint us that has Jennifer Lopez?
There's a huge list of movies opening this week. The first one, yes, is the movie that is going to be the disappointment of the week. It is called Hustlers. Jennifer Lopez, Julia Stiles, Constance Wu, and Cardi B are a group of exotic dancers who are taking it back, Chip. They're taking it back.
They're going to get people drunk, and then they're going to use their credit cards. Because, you know, that's the way we treat people.
Yeah, this seems like a terrible message.
And a terrible premise.
And just a terrible reason to go to a movie and what, look at women? Is that what this is? Ugh. There is a movie called Can You Keep a Secret? This is based on a New York Times bestseller, and it's about a woman who spills her secrets in an emergency situation on an airplane, and then the guy that she's talking to becomes her boss the next day.
Well, this looks like a comedy, yeah. or a light film.
Yeah.
This looks better than Jennifer Lopez's film.
Yeah. The other bad film this week is called The Weeknd. This is the trailer for this just looks unfunny. This is supposed to be a comedy about a group of people who go away for the weekend with an ex-boyfriend and a new girlfriend, and they don't get along very well.
And it stars Saturday Night Live cast.
Yeah. Weekend Update? Is this Weekend Update? Is that what you're calling this? The Goldfinch is coming out.
Steve, we should get probably a little more serious at this point.
Yes, this is we're out of our comedy realm now into our serious movies. This is an adaptation of a best-selling novel again. This is Nicole Kidman, who's been making some great films lately. This is the story of a young boy dealing with loss.
So he went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Steve.
Of course he did, yes.
And he saw the picture of the Finch.
Yes, and his mother showed it to him.
And then there was a some kind of terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. And then we get to deal with the aftermath of that. So you've got to move on, Steve.
That's, I think, maybe the theme of The Goldfinch. It looks like a good one. I think that there's a lot to be learned there. The Sound of Silence is a movie about a man who thinks that he can change everybody's life by changing all the sounds in their apartments.
Steve, there's a lesson to be learned here. Yes. That the sounds that surround you have an impact on how you view the world.
Your toaster is in E flat. You have to get a different toaster.
This looks actually pretty good.
Really?
I think this is the movie, of all the ones we've got so far, this is the one I would see.
Really?
Steve, this week is kind of challenging.
This is a challenging week, which brings us to D-Day.
This movie looks just, it looks like a poor man's Pearl Harbor.
It is basically the story of Pearl Harbor told by a UFC fighter in the starring role of this movie.
I was thinking, I would have been waiting for this type of film, Steve.
I will watch a wrestler in a movie any day of the week before I'll watch a UFC fighter in a movie. He is not an actor.
This
wrestlers are.
This doesn't look particularly good.
No, this looks really, really not good.
I'm not trying to dissuade you from seeing this.
I'm just saying the opposite of good is D-Day. There's a movie called Chained for Life. This is the story of an actress trying to connect with her disfigured co-star in a European film.
All right, so this is where we got the title of this week's show, right?
Gobble gobble, gobble gobble, one of us, one of us.
All right, so tell us a little bit about that movie.
The movie Freaks from 1932 is one of those movies that has gone through our lives, and we think of the idea of a freak show. Back even in the 80s and 90s, there were still circuses. There were still people that came through town and were just to be looked at.
Okay, so this movie looks like a movie of a disfigured gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the premise is, let's come see him and put him in a movie.
And the theme is, let's accept him because he's a human, but the trailer really does not go into that. The trailer's really just, hey, look at this guy.
Yeah, this is going to be a unique... This actually looks like it could be a unique story. It
could.
But, you know, I'm
thinking of Mask, the Cher movie, where that was very much the message. This human being does not look like you, and that's okay. We can't leave him out just because he looks different. He's a human being. Let's treat him with humanity. None of that is in the trailer for Chained for Life.
Steve, I'm just thinking Mary Shelley Frankenstein.
Oh,
yes. Do you have any movies for me?
The weather changed, didn't it? The weather definitely changed, and we are definitely headed toward the Halloween season, and the movie Depraved is coming out this week. This is a modern, really tight storytelling of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the idea of bringing back to life what was once dead.
All right, so I mentioned the movie that I would see this week, The Sound of Silence, mm-hmm. was very good. This movie is equally on that list. So of the two movies I would see, Depraved looks like it looks like a modern-day retelling mm-hmm. of Frankenstein, mm-hmm. or Frankenstein's monster. Either way. And that he still wants a wife, Steve, but maybe a little bit differently.
The story of Frankenstein is not about the monster. It's about the doctor. That's this story. This story, Depraved. Can we get into this every year?
The monster is there.
Yes, he is. He is a part of the story. There is another Halloween tale coming our way. It's called Haunt. This seems like a pretty standard, straightforward slasher film taking place in a haunted house. So there's jump scares around every corner because that's what a haunted house is.
From the writers of A Quiet Place.
Maybe one of the writers.
They've decided that they're going to actually use words in this one.
Not many. Not many.
This looks actually pretty good, too.
Really?
Not great. I'm not saying pretty good.
I disagree with you.
Listen, there are people who enjoy horror.
This is that. Yes, we enjoyed it. That's horror.
Sure, but the sci-fi.
This is silly. Speaking of silly, the next movie is called Riot Girls. And boy, I was really excited about this one. It's an alternative 1995 where a mysterious disease has killed all of the adults and the kids, the teenagers, are running the world in this alternative 1995.
And they've got to get from one part of the city to the other. That's the Warriors, right?
Yeah, it's the Warriors.
Oh, no.
Come out and play!
This one is...
That's a Twin Peaks reference, just so you know, because the guy who said that in the Warriors was one of the stars of Twin Peaks.
Steve, this is the jocks versus the others.
Yeah.
Without adults around.
The haves and the have-nots playing out in an alternative 1995 where they have uniforms and...
This is ready for riff tracks.
Yeah. There is a movie called... Speaking of riff tracks... Speaking of riff tracks, there's a movie called Manos. Not right. Manos, the Hands of Fate, but Manos with an O.
All right, so this actually is an interesting looking film.
Uh-huh. What's it about?
Uh-huh. It's about kids out in a mountaintop.
Uh-huh.
Some faraway area.
Okay.
And, they got machine guns, Steve.
Uh-huh. And then there's a helicopter.
And it's like Lord of the Flies.
Maybe this is Lord of the Flies.
Who knows what this is? Apocalypse Now? I don't know what this is.
It does reference Apocalypse Now in the trailer, and there are no words spoken in the trailer. So I'm intrigued by this one, at least.
Steve, we saw the Alamo. We learned all about Texas history. Is there something that I could learn about Mormon history?
Let's learn all about the Mormons and Liberty, Missouri in this week's movie, Out of Liberty. This
is like it was totally made for the Mormon people who follow the Mormon faith.
Maybe by the people of the Mormon faith as well. I mean, they may have funded this one. Interesting.
It's got Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
Yes. This is like before the Book of Mormon. This is like a prequel.
This is not a prequel to the Book of Mormon.
It isn't?
Hello. Sorry. Now I'm going to start singing. There is a documentary coming out this week called Chasing Einstein. Albert Einstein was one of our greatest minds. He came up with the idea of the theory of relativity.
He also is a caricature for smart people.
He is the stand-in for smartness. If you want to talk about smartness, you call somebody Einstein or Poindexter.
Or you draw a cartoon with like the clown hair. Yeah.
Chasing Einstein is a documentary looking at what we're doing today and how we're proving or maybe even trying to disprove that theory of relativity and the idea of dark matter in science. The one thing that we have not figured out about the theory of relativity is there's something out there that we can't see, this invisible force of dark matter, and science has been trying to discover it for a very long time. And
I just saw the movie It. I think I've got some ideas.
There's some dark matter in there?
Sure.
Yeah. There is a documentary about the musician Liam Gallagher.
Only one of the Oasis brothers.
One of the Oasis brothers.
Only one of them agreed to appear.
Yeah. They kind of had a falling out, huh?
They always have a fight, Steve. They get back together, but they have another one.
That's right. This one looks like an interesting music documentary. And then there is a movie called Cracked Up. This is the story of Daryl Hammond and his big addiction problems that kept him from being the comedian that he needed to be. He's still on Saturday Night Live. He's the announcer now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he took over for Don Pardo when Don Pardo passed away. But Daryl Hammond has some demons, and the movie Cracked Up is all about his struggles.
So Daryl Hammond looks like, he became the replacement for Phil Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a versatile character that could play in so much.
Mm-hmm.
And he could play the straight man. He could play the absurd person. And he's got, you know, the great pipes. And it's just, it's, you would think that Hammond could have moved on like Phil Hartman, but obviously he's dealing with some other things.
Right.
And so Hammond is certainly
great.
Just a very talented guy.
The Sean Connery Celebrity Jeopardy with Daryl Hammond is just, that is,
that's what
Sean
your mother,
Trebek. I love it. I look forward to this one. There was no trailer for this one. We couldn't find a trailer, so this is a mystery movie, and I look forward to finding out the answer to Cracked Up. Book it. Brings us to our book it. Our book of the week. You have delved into yet another book about humanity, another book about who we are. This one seems pretty counterintuitive, though. It's called The Survival of the Sickest, The Surprising Connections Between Disease and Longevity by Dr. Sharon Molam. Tell us all about this one.
Now, this is a fascinating, fascinating book. And it is about just thinking about how the human body evolved from some point in the past and where we are today. And you could think maybe through evolution that all those things that are bad for us would kind of be go away. Like, why do people have sickle cell? Didn't all those people die? You know, why do the people have disease? Why did things happen this way? And one of the propositions in this is that over history, the things that go on in our body that are maybe bad for us over the long term basically protect us against short-term types of things.
Including things like the bubonic plague.
Exactly. In fact, he goes, part of the conversation talks a little bit about iron in the blood and how it kind of eventually moves its way to organs. And that may have been a strategy that the human body used to protect itself from the bubonic plague, which basically wiped out half of Europe,
two-thirds of Europe. Yeah. A lot of people.
So as a kid, I was fascinated by the bubonic plague.
Sure. Ring around the rosy. We all were.
Oh, yes.
We were out on the playground singing a song about the bubonic plague.
And so bubonic plague was attracted to iron in the blood. So the way the body protected itself is that move that iron to your organs, which basically was really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our solution to that now? And I'm going actually beyond this book. So the solution at one time for a person who had too much iron in their blood was you go to the doctor and the doctor would pull out a jar and attach the leeches to you.
And do a little bloodletting.
That's right.
And we look at that today and we go, that's archaic.
Oh, that's right. How barbaric of you. And, you know, a barber shop pole is for bloodletting. You know,
that's why the red stripe is there. Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
And so as I'm reading this and I'm going, this is a good example of why giving blood could be very good for you.
That's the idea that this doctor has put forward.
He didn't put that forward. That's where I took it from the
book. Dr. Chip has put forward the idea.
I'm not a doctor. I just play one. So in this, it talks about bloodletting. And, you know, either attaching the leeches on or cutting you so you bleed. And that, you know, up until, you know, maybe
you
some
bleed?
Point. That's right.
Maybe sometime in the
1800s.
Yeah.
That was still a standard procedure. I don't feel well. Go and we're going to bleed you some.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking of it a little bit differently. I said, well, good grief. If bloodletting is being reintroduced as something to consider, and with the idea of kind of ridding your body of some of this iron, giving blood is the equivalent that. Why not just give blood on a regular basis? And this actually may be good for your health.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That's really counterintuitive. That really seems to be something that we've gone away from, but maybe that's the right answer.
And you know, just like on your driver's license, you should have, like, you know, if something would happen to me, give away my organs and whatever it is to help someone else live. This could be a positive, you know, part
that, life-saving.
Yeah, just Steve every, you know, I can't remember, it's every 8 weeks or whatever, goes and gives blood.
Yeah, I don't do that. I really should. I think that that might be a good thing for humanity and maybe for my health.
Sure, it could be. Now, also, we talk a little bit about diabetes and how maybe it evolved. And maybe it was an evolution way of protecting yourself during the Ice Age. So here you go. So there's all sorts of little stories in here that show how the body reacts, how we live with viruses, and how those viruses impact us for the positive and potentially for the negative. And, you know, we're just carriers, Steve. That's all we are.
Maybe that's what we're here for, is just to carry these viruses around and to change the world that way.
So we watched a little interview before our or we started, you know, as we were preparing for this, with the interview with this gentleman, and I had forgotten about the schizophrenia and cats.
Yes.
And how basically cats pass on a some kind of virus or, you know, something.
Toxoplasmosis is the name of that.
And they pass it on to mice. And so mice are not afraid of cats. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
But for a human being around a cat, if you are susceptible to having schizophrenia, he said this could be the part that pushes you over to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's your warning here before Halloween. Those cats out there, they may not be your friends.
I mean,
not only are they killing all the birds out there, they may not be your friends.
And they just look menacing. They just look at you side eye like they're plotting something.
Well, and they want to sit there and give you a meow like you want some food or something, or some toys. You never know. You never know. They're plotting, Steve.
This is a very interesting concept of this book. I think that I'm going to have to look this one up and read it for myself.
Excellent.
It's called The Survival of the Sickest, The Surprising Connections Between Disease and Longevity by Dr. Sharon Molam. And you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our Scroll with It. You know, there's lots of great stories out there. Social media and everything, we get so many different viewpoints from around the country. You found a story about a boy who made his own homemade t-shirt on School Colors Day, and the University of Tennessee has honored him for his work here.
Yeah, it looks like that a teacher and a student down in Florida, the college day was coming up, and everybody was going to wear a t-shirt with their favorite college uniform. If you're down in Florida, maybe you cheer for the Florida State Seminoles, or you cheer for the Florida Gators, or Central Florida. But his favorite team was up in Tennessee. So the Tennessee Volunteers is the school in Tennessee, and they're orange and white. And he didn't have a T-shirt with that logo or anything on it. And so the teacher asked, as good teachers would say, "Well, how would you like to address this?" He said, "Well, I have a orange t-shirt at home. Why don't I bring it in?" And she said, "That's a good idea. And we'll figure out a way to make this the college day." And so what he did was he took a piece of paper and he wrote U and T on it. And they basically pinned it to his shirt. And all of a sudden he had his Tennessee Volunteer t-shirt.
My students do stuff like this all the time. When they don't have the shirt that they need for a specific day, they make their own using a piece of paper because they use the resources they have available to them.
So this young man went to lunch, and there were some students, as you can imagine, and they were just making fun of, like, "Let's look at this guy with his pinned on U and T on his orange t-shirt. This is..." They were just making fun of him.
Because this was outside of the norm. We all have our shirts from these other schools that we admire. You are somehow not as good because you don't have what we have.
And that seems to be one of the challenges here. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the resources or don't have something available,
right?
Making do sometimes, you know, makes you feel pride in the sense that you did something, but maybe you feel inadequate, especially if someone is... Yeah, makes fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he goes back to the classroom, and the teacher sees that he's upset and addresses that with him. And she went on Facebook, and she wrote a story about this gentleman. Didn't expose who he was,
right?
Just a picture of his t-shirt. University of Tennessee picked this up. And they ultimately, they sent him a box of stuff from the University of Tennessee. And if you don't, they have Smokey, who is the hound dog. That is their mascot. And they're the Volunteers, because that's their nickname. But what they also did, above and beyond that, is they took his design, his hand-printed design with the U and the T, as a young person would put that together. Well, they made a t-shirt with that. They put it in there. If you go to the game, it's in the bookstore. You can pick up your own copy of his t-shirt. So he designed one of their t-shirts. How lovely that, that, one, we have the resources to do unique and special things like that. And the other part is how wonderful for this young man to choose to participate in life and to go out there and do something, maybe not the highest quality, but, you know, it's special to him.
And to find that support from that teacher and from this community of people who look at this and go, you are on the right track. We are going to help you. We're going to find a way. This is a great story.
So it's a power of teachers being observant, about a story of students going out there and getting things done they need to get done.
Yeah.
It's a story of social media and how it can spread the word out there. And also for, you know, for universities and other entities out there to be aware of things going on. And choosing, you know, it's amazing what a few dollars can do to the lives of people.
It is. It is amazing to me how often we can change a person's life with very little effort.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
As long as that clown is vanquished, we don't need to worry about that. So
goodbye, clown.
Oh, boy. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And any day of the week, you can ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future. Just